everyone of the house of Israel who sets up idols in his heart and puts before him which causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols. In other words, God is saying that I'm going to judge them because of the error of their way. You want to come to me? God is saying, okay, but now I'm going to judge you, and I'm going to make you an example that others may fear and come to a place of repentance. He says here that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart. That's what he's saying. Because they are all estranged from me by their idols. You say that I'm your God. You say that I'm your Lord. But why are you pursuing other gods? You sing songs of Zion. You quote scriptures, but your heart is far from me. God says, we're doing the religious things. We're having forms of godliness. We know how to do things, but we deny the power thereof. God is saying he's looking for people, amen, that are going to serve him in spirit and in truth. We're going to worship him out of the pureness of their heart, out of the pureness of their spirit, and in truth. And that's what God is calling for today. He's looking for men and women that are not perfect, but men and women who have fallen on their face before God and said, yes, I've missed the mark. Yes, I've sinned. Yes, I've fallen short. But God, forgive me. God, wash me. God, cleanse me. God, make me whole. God, renew my mind. Renew my spirit. God, I want to be filled with your glory. I want to be filled with your spirit. I want to be filled with your anointing. God, take this thing from me that caused me to err, that causes me to stumble. God, I need to hear your voice. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not in it, amen, just for you to tickle my flesh. I'm not in it to just stimulate your emotions, amen, as a preacher. I'm here to preach the pure and unadulterated word of God, amen. I want you to feel good, amen. God made us, amen, emotional creatures. But at the end of the day, when you leave this church, amen, I want something to be planted inside you, something that's going to change your life, something that's going to impact your being, something that's going to make you think, something that's going to say, I want to come higher in the Lord. I want God to use me. I want to move in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I don't mind feeling a jingle. I don't mind feeling a good emotion. But at the end of the day, what are you going to do with the truth of God's word? We can stimulate and we can jump and we can holler, and sometimes we do that. Amen. And that's okay. Amen. But at the end of the day, if there's no fruit that's produced, all we did is have a country club event. If at the end of the day, nobody gets changed, nobody gets encouraged, nobody can face Monday and say, you know what, I'm going to keep my head up. You know what, God is on my side. If nobody walks out of here saying, you know what, I can overcome this addiction, I can overcome this problem, I can overcome this marital issue, I can overcome these financial hurdles, I can overcome these physical limitations, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If I leave out of here today, there should be something in the word of God, even though I might got cut, even though the preacher might have stepped on my toes, I'm not going to get mad with the preacher, I'm not going to get an attitude with the church, but I'm going to say thank you, God, because you love me enough to correct me, even when I was missing it, even when I made the wrong turn, even when I made the mess. God, you love me so much that you sent a man of God, that you sent a woman of God that would tell me the truth of your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So God is looking for men and women of integrity. Not perfect, because none of us are perfect. But you know what? To simply say, Lord, I want to be real. And that's what God was challenging. He said, listen, he says, you know what? He says, and through this example of these who have set up these false gods. And these were elders. These were leaders. These were people who knew better. To much is given, much is required. If you're a babe in the Lord, God understands that. We know you just started walking with God. God understands that. He's a loving and compassionate and an understanding God. He's not a cruel dictator waiting to shoot you down as soon as you stick your head. That's not the love of God. But he's saying, listen, those of you who know my word, those of you who have been walking with me, those of you who have been in fellowship with me, and after all that you've seen and all that you've heard and all the word that's been preached to you, I dare you to set up idols in your heart. God says, I have to deal with you. I have to deal with you strictly. Not as enemies, but as sons and daughters. You can't show me one parent that won't correct, godly parent, that won't correct their kids because they love them. The correction may not feel good at the present time, but you know it's to bring a fruit. My mother, she's always telling me what to do. Well, maybe she loves you. Well, my father, he's always saying that. Well, maybe he knows something that you don't know. He might be been alive 40, 50 more years longer than you. And maybe he's made some mistakes. And he's simply saying, listen, you don't have to do what I. He might not tell you everything that he did, but he's speaking from experience. I've made some mistakes. I fell on my face. I've busted myself open. And I'm just trying to tell my sons and my daughters, you don't have to go this way. You don't have to make the mistakes. But we get rebellious. We get proud. Don't tell me how to live my life. Don't tell me what to do. Well, maybe we're trying to prevent you from making some mistakes that you don't have to make. We've got to have a spirit of meekness. We've got to be teachable where God can speak to us. He says, well, I'll hear from God, but I don't need to hear from some man. Well, that's not what the word says. He said, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? God, all throughout the Bible, uses people. Yes, it comes from God to bring correction, to bring the message of correction. And a lot of times, we don't realize when we rebel against earthly authority, you're already rebelling against heavenly authority. Because many times, those people that may be in authority position over your life, you might not think so, but anyway, all order, everybody that's in place, God allowed them to be. Whether it's presidents, whether you like them, whether it's governors, whether you like them or not, doesn't matter. God, if they're in there, God allowed them to be in that place. And as long as they're not telling me to do something that's a contrary to the word of God, that's telling me to do something contrary to what I know is right, listen, I am to be subject. That's what the Bible tells us. To obey those that have the rule over you. To be subject to governments and magistrates and people of authority over us. Even the wicked ones. Oh, that's tough right there. But the truth of the matter is, in God's wisdom, there's a power in your humility. There's a power and an authority over your spirit of meekness. Even though some foolish person in the world may think you're weak, but someone who's spiritually minded will say, that's a strong woman and a man of God, that you would still keep your integrity. Even after Joe Blow acted the fool, you still kept your integrity. You didn't respond on their level. So that reveals a strength of character and a strength of the God that's in you, that even in the midst of the foolishness, that you can say, you know what, I still am going to praise God. Now, I might not like it, amen, and I might let you know that, but guess what? I'm not going to let it move me out of my character of who I am in Christ. Amen. We get so many say, well, I'm just going to tell you how I feel, and I'm just going to put it on the table. No, no, you need to listen to the voice of God. There may be times he may give you to speak, but make sure it's God that's giving you that time to speak. But in the meantime, sometimes God's saying, be quiet. Hold your peace. I'm going to fight your battle. I'm going to deal with that situation. I'm going to deal with that one who's persecuting you. I'm going to deal with that one who's mistreating you. I'm going to deal with that one who's trying to take advantage of you. God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Amen. We as Christians, we ought to pray, God, have mercy. Amen. God, spare them. Because there should still be something in us, amen, knowing the terror and the judgment of God, we don't want God to break loose on anybody. The truth of the matter is, all God has to do is, he really don't have to do anything. All he has to do is take his hedge of protection from you. God doesn't have to lift them, because you know what? There are all sorts of principalities and powers and demons, amen, for speaking as Christians now, amen, to get out of the will of God. All God has to do is lift that hedge from you. You think what you're going through now is bad? You have no idea. Because even in your hard and difficult time, there's grace that's in your life. You might not be able to recognize it, but there's grace even in your financial hardship. There's grace even in your marital problem. All you say is bad now, but there's still grace. And we have to say, God, I trust you. God, I don't want to have any idle things in my heart. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We've got to make up in our minds. We've got to say, you know what? I'm going to make a stand that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? You make a commitment. You make a pledge and you say, God, I will serve you with all of my strength, with all of my heart, with all that is in me. I'm going to serve you and I'm going to love you with everything that's in my being. Listen to this in verse 6. He says, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent. Somebody say repent.
Repent.
He's telling them, amen. He's saying to the house of Israel, he said, tell them to repent and turn away from your idols. What are the idols that we have erected? What idols have we, even as Christians, to come into our lives, amen, to even cause us to stumble? Now, I got to admit, amen, there's a lot going on out there in the world. The devil is using the same tricks and the same tactics and the same strategies. He's just twisting it up, putting it in different dressing. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, it's the same thing. He just repackages it. We get so we have to have what we see, the pride of life. Do you know who I am? Do you know how much money I have? Do you know my status? Do you know I'm an important person? But God is saying he resists the proud. But what does he do? He gives more grace unto the humble. If you want to grow and if you want to be blessed in God, humble yourself. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, if you humble yourself, guess what? I'm here to, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. If you humble yourself in the presence of God, let me tell you, God will raise you up. People will say, how did you get there? How did you make it? How did you overcome that? You don't understand. I simply humble. They think you work from a position of strength. They thought that you were so powerful. They thought that you were so smart. And you may be all of that. But you say, no, it's not by my strength, but it's by his strength. It's not by my spirit, but it's by his spirit. It's nothing that I did. It's Christ that's inside of me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is inside. Out of the world. Hallelujah. So it's something about the power of the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of me. Even though it seemed like I shouldn't make it, even though it seemed like my life is messed up, even though it seemed like I should fail, and it seemed like everybody said your life is over, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never be this or never be that, you don't have a college degree, you don't have a good job, you don't have a listen, but they don't know your God, because there's something about your God that he will pick you up in the midst of your depression. He will pick you up out of the midst of your pit. When everybody said there's no hope, when everybody said there's no use, when everybody said there's no joy, when the doctor says there's no way, God will say, I will heal you. All because you learn to recognize that he is our source. When we really understand that he is our source, thank God for the jobs, amen, and they provide. But if you really break it down, the job isn't the source, amen. The true source is the Lord.
Amen.
because your job can be here today and everything can be fine and tomorrow is gone. So your job isn't really your source. It's your heavenly Father that provides for you. And you've got to say, Lord, I'm looking unto you. I'm looking unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help doesn't come from IBM. My help doesn't come from Cisco. My help doesn't come from Fortune 500. But my help comes from the Lord. I'm not banking on my stocks. I'm not banking on my portfolio, because one minute it can be full and the next day it can be wiped out. So I got to keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, knowing that he that hath begun a good work in me shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I'm keeping my eyes on the Lord. I'm keeping my eyes on the prize, because everything on this earth is unstable. Everything on this earth can change. People change, economy change, jobs change, people, loved ones change. But if I stand on the rock, which is Jesus the Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He said, I change not. There's something about the power of the Holy Ghost that even when you're in trouble, you can call Abba Father. Hallelujah. So I'm learning to walk by faith. See, this is something you got to learn. Amen. As a newborn, amen, you're going to stumble. But as we grow with God, and as we mature with God, and as we experience the presence of God and the love of God, and you see the miraculous power of God, you learn more and more. Said, even though I don't see it, but God, I know you're with me. And somebody said, well, how you know God is with you? No, you don't understand. He's proven himself over and over and over again. He was with me in the emergency room when they said I wasn't going to make it. He was with me in the car wreck when they thought I was dead. He was with me when my finances collapse. I lost my house and I lost my car. But look at me now. I'm still the Pharaoh. God has been faithful to me. I love him because he lurks, love me. He changes not. I can call him in the morning. I can call him at the noontime. And I can call him at the evening hour. But it's something about my God that no matter when I call him, I know that I can get in the presence of God. I know I can enter the glory of God. There's something precious about the presence of God. So trust him. No matter what it looks like, you don't have to go looking any other place. When people erect idols, they're looking for other places to be loved, to be entertained, to being fulfilled, to find what they call success. But no, all you need is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that you need, God's got it. He knows how to make you happy. You said, I'm dealing with depression. I'm dealing with all kind of emotional issues. But I'm here to let you know, if you just trust him and you just stay in his presence, weeping may endure for a night. Yeah, sometimes you will go through emotional problems. The life of a believer is filled with trials and tribulations and tests and persecutions. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that ought to try you as though something strange has happened unto you. But it's just a test. Look to your neighbor and say, it's just a test. God will allow us to go through various tests and trials. Not to punish you. See, we get it wrong. Say, God, why are you punishing me? Lord, why is this happening in my life? Lord, what did I do wrong? God says, many times, you've done nothing wrong. It's just understand this, that we all will be tested. But he's already given us the answer to the test. It's an open book test. I don't know if you've ever had those in school. How could you fail an open book test? When they say you can take all the time you need, these are the questions, but you can use the whole book. The only way you can fail that test, if you just don't care, you're just not motivated, or something. But God has already given us all the provision through Jesus Christ. He said, when you don't know what to say, he just simply said, say what I said. Say what the word says. Even though you may not feel it, don't confess what you feel and say what the word says. I can do all things through Christ. And your so-called friends say, what you talking about? Don't you know you about to get evicted tomorrow? Don't you know your light bill is due? Don't you know you got to pass that test? Don't you know you got to do this? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You got to say, you got to speak to yourself and say, I'm an overcomer in Jesus Christ. If God be for me, who or what can be against me? You got to speak to yourself. You've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Psalm says, why art thou, why is my soul disquieted within me? The psalmist said, but hope thou in God. You've got to speak to yourself. Turn off that depressing music. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. No. Don't agree with the negative. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that again, that we don't go through things. But understand this, we have the solution. We have the answer. We have the means to rise above through the power of his word and the spirit that's inside of us. That I can look at every obstacle, that you can look at every problem, you can look at every situation and say, I'm coming out. Don't ever let the world, the devil, people make you feel less than. You've got to say, I am somebody in Jesus Christ. I don't care, even if you feel like, you got to tell yourself to shut up. Say, be quiet. This is what God says about me. This is what the word of the Lord says about me. My family is blessed. My house is blessed. My children are blessed. We will have everything that we need. You might have a bag of beans and a fruit cocktail in the refrigerator. Don't confess and say, you know what? David said, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. You will see, and I know it, I'm not preaching anything that I haven't experienced myself. Been times I haven't even said anything. And we've seen God miraculously open doors for us. We've been at times in our marriage, didn't have food in the refrigerator, didn't tell nobody, here come bags of groceries coming to the door. Been at times I didn't have a dime in my pocket. Said, Lord, I'm hungry. God is my witness, I would not lie to you. Looked in the street, a jar of change. 2 minutes after thinking the thought. You can't tell me that God doesn't bless his people. So I don't care what your situation is, and I'm talking to somebody this morning. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what it looks like in the natural. You confound the forces of hell. And you speak faith. And you declare and you decree what the word of God has already said over your life. And you stand up as a man or woman of faith and you say, I decree and I declare that I shall not lack, I shall not go in want, that God shall meet my needs in the name of Jesus. Take out the plate, sit them on the table. I don't care if they say, we're not hiring no more. God will make a special job just for you. This might be personal testimony time, sermon time. First got down here, went to work at the hospital, ORMC. Went in, didn't have a position. They created a position. My wife will tell you, I'm telling the truth. She worked there too. They moved the people that were already in place. They got so mad, it was a revolt. And I was, oh my God, what happened here? I felt like, Lord, what did I do? People lost their jobs. But I had a need. I had children. We need money to pay rent, and I believe God. Amen. My point is this. God will take care of his people. If God's got to create a position that ain't nobody ever heard of and pay you well for it, God will do it. The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. And the Bible says, as the rivers of water, he turneth it as he willeth it. The person that's in authority and charge, they don't understand that God is pulling the strings. You give them, that's why he said, give them their respect. But between you and me, you know who's really in charge. Don't get frustrated with your bosses and your superiors. They may think they're the ones who run in the show, but the truth of the matter is God is sitting high and he's looking low. And if they're not careful and they put their hands on God's people one too many times, they may find themselves in an unemployment line. They might have found themselves in the other way around where you're their superior and they're looking at you saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. See, you can't mess with God's people and expect, hallelujah, that God doesn't deal with you. I'm not praying for it, but I'm simply letting you know that when you trust God and when you believe God and when you let God fight your battles, you don't have to raise one finger, but God will go to war. He'll send his war and angels for his servants. He'll send there's mighty angels on your behalf. Just be still and know that God is in charge. And watch him work. Look to your neighbor and say, watch him work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Listen to this. I'm about done. Turn to John chapter 8. Verse 31. See, we've got to guard our hearts and minds. We can't let the world seduce us. See, that's what it's all about. It's you can't cut on. I mean, it's mass programming. The TVs, the commercials, they're here for they're battling for your mind. They're battling for your heart. They're battling to control you. Not only your physical man, but your whole being. They just don't want your mind and your money, but they want your heart. They want your soul. They want your spirit. And you got to say, you can't have me. TV comes on. They're after everything that's about you. They want your intellect. They want your soul. They want to control you. They want to manipulate you. They want you to act as a robot based on the information they're pumping into you. And that's why we've got to stay in the Word of God, that we can recognize the tactics and the devices of the enemy. And when he shows up, you can say, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not going for it. You ain't fooling me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God has given me the spirit of discernment. I can recognize when the devil's on the scene. I'm not buying it. Next. Well, you need this. No, I don't need anything. I got everything that I need. And if I need to get it, then I'll get back with you. You don't dictate to me and tell me what I need. If I need it, I'll let you know. See, that's how the world is operating. They want to control you. But listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 8. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 31. Then Jesus said unto those Jews who believed him, he said, if you abide in my what? In my word. In other words, if you stay in the Bible, if you stay in my word, if you abide means if not just visit, but you got to live there. Many of us, we just pass through, say, hi, Jesus. But he's not talking about just a pass-by wave offering, but he's talking about living in the presence of God, staying continually, habitually, purposely, over and over again in his word. He says, if you, it's contingent upon your choice. You have a choice. You can choose or you cannot choose. But he says, here's the blessing if you choose to do it. If you abide in my word, This is where you get in trouble with some people out there. Not in Buddha's word. Not in the Quran. It's tight, but it's right. Amen. Not Hare Krishna. Not any of these other, they got so many things going around. Not any of these things. But if you abide in my word, he says, then are you my disciples? Indeed. He said, then are you really my disciples? He says, you really are my disciples if you stay in my word. You know why he's saying that? Because if you stay in his word, you're going to really get to know who he is. There's going to be a relationship that's going to be formed. He said, you just won't know about me, but you'll know me. See, that's the difference. We treat him as a person driving down 50. Hey, how you doing, Jesus? See you when you come back around. What's for dinner tonight? Fishes and loaves. What about some honey? Then you go on and do your thing. No, he's not talking about it. He said, Jesus, wait a minute, pull over. I'm going to get in the car. I want to go where you go. Where you going, Jesus? I'm right there. That's what he's talking about. Where you going tonight, Jesus? I'm right there. Where you eating tonight, Jesus? I'm right there. When's Bible study? I'm right there. What's in the word? I'm right there. Lord, is there teaching that? I'm right there. Be hungry for God. That's the only way that you can abide, is you got to be hungry. Because right now, our attention spans are fleeting. You can't preach to people too long. This is the truth. This is what they tell you. Now, then, you got to get a good 20 minutes. Because anytime after that, you start losing folk. They start dropping out. You got to give them a little teaching. Take them to a climax in the sermon. Because after a while, they're thinking about what's for dinner. They think about chops, pork chops, chicken. They think about Popeyes. Somebody's even cooking chitlins. Y'all know y'all like chitlins, don't they? So we got to get you when we got that window. And I admit, you know, you don't want to be too long-winded. But then the only problem I have with that, when the game's going to overtime, we right there. When we in Disney and the line is around Mickey Mouse and Pluto and going all the way down to the East Gate, we standing right there. Because I got to get on that ride. I came and I paid my overpriced ticket. And I'm sure enough going to get on that ride. Turkey legs are $7. You can buy a whole turkey darn near. But we go there and we buy it because I came here to have a good time. Coke, can of Coke is $4. You whip it out. How many we need? We got 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 of them. Here's $30. Don't let the preacher ask for a dollar. Because I came to experience the magic. I came to experience the wonder. Johnny, aren't you happy? Johnny sleep. Johnny don't even remember half of it. We paid $150 for Johnny to get in. But my point is this. And God wants us to have a good time. Nothing wrong with that. We ought to do those things. But isn't it robbery sometimes? We come and it's a 20-minute sermon. And we say, man, when are we going to get out of here? It gets back to where your heart is. Where your affection is. When you have really understood how to abide, you can sit right there. Because I'm comfortable in the house. In other words, I'm comfortable in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't have to say, Jesus, well, I went to church Sunday, but man, there's a party Saturday night. Pastor, I'm going to be a little late. Like, I don't really know what's going on. You know, I got some things I got to deal with. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. But we give God leftovers. And then when we need him, we come running to God, tears down our face. Jesus, if you had been here early, my brother wouldn't have died. If you had been here early, I wouldn't have lost my house. If you had been here earlier, Lord, I wouldn't have got the speeding ticket. Lord, I was rushing because I was trying to get to work. And Lord, if you had just this and that. But when you really know the heart of God, when you really spend time with him, God will share with you the things he won't share with anybody else. Think about this, and I know I said I'm almost done. But think about this. When you really spend time with him, he will reveal himself to you in ways that he won't reveal to others. And it's not that you're better. It's that you understood the process and the quality of the time that you spend with him and the importance of spending that time with him. How do you get everybody that may came with somebody, you got to know them, whether it's your husband or wife or boyfriend. You just say, hey, how you doing? Look good. Let's get married. Hey, man, how you doing? Give me $50. I don't know you. It took time to develop a relationship. Then you can feel comfortable and say, hey, man, you know, I need $50. Oh, man, no problem. I know you're good. It's $50. If I got it, it's yours. Because I know you. Well, if you take time to know the Lord, then that's where we miss it. See, a lot of times we treat God like a genie. We don't want to spend time with him. We don't want to abide with him. We don't want to commune with him. But Lord, I need. Give me this. You said if I could just believe what I receive when I pray and I shall have what's up. Yeah, but it also said if you delight yourself. In other words, just I'm not cheap. That's what God is saying. That's what he was saying to these elders. Do you think you can just come and just get a word? Just because you want a word for your convenience? You can live any kind of way. You can have any kind of idol God in your heart. And here you can just go to Jesus and say, give me a large shake and some fries. After all, Lord, we hungry. We just want to know what's happening. God said, you don't understand this kind of relationship. God is looking for men and women who are going to commit wholeheartedly. Everyone stand. Who are going to know, who knows what it means to say, Lord, here am I. I surrender my life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. Examine our hearts. Are we really abiding with him? Do we really give him the time? Or do we just treat him as a happy meal experience? Drive-by relationship experience. But are you really hungry for the things of God? And he says, and with that abiding, it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Whatever it is that's been holding you bound, that's been holding you captive, because you spend time and you abide in the presence of God, it loses its power. It loses its grip. It has no power over you. Because you know the truth of the word of God, that Jesus paid it all. And because Jesus paid it all, the devil has nothing on me. Has no right, has no power, have no authority. Then you say, my God, I am free. I am free. I don't have to be bound. I don't have to be chained. I am free because of everything that was done on Calvary's cross. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. To set, to make, is a power word. It's an active word. If by force, if necessary. God said, I will snatch the devil's paws off you. I will break every chain, every feather. I will come against every stronghold. I don't care how long it's been in your life. I don't care how many generations it's been around. I don't care if it's been through your father, through your grandfather, and through your great-grandmother. It doesn't care. God said, I will break every stronghold, every chain in your life. Because of the power. In the name of Jesus. We can do it, saints. We can rise up. We are those men and women that God has called us to be. We have been redeemed. Now walk in it. Walk in your authority. Walk in the power that God has already provided. It's an open book. You got the answers. If you don't know it, get in the Word. Seek God. The Bible said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He will not withhold from you. But he said, let him ask in faith. See, in faith is because you spend in time. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing. And how do you hear it here? Unless you abide in his presence. So when you abide, your faith gets built up. Your strength gets built up. Then you can ask what you will, and that thing shall be done. Because you won't pray amiss. You won't pray out of the will of God. You won't say, well, Lord, should I ask? No, you won't have that problem because you know the heart of God. You know what he wants because you spend time with him. You know the heartbeat of God. You know the passion of God. You know the will of God. And he says, in that, you can ask what you will because you're asking in my name. You're asking according to my will. You're asking according to my plan and purpose for your life. And he said, that thing I will do. Believe that you receive when you pray. Mark 11:24 says, and you shall receive what you desire. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can walk as a man of faith. You can walk as a woman of faith and in authority and in a power. You and I, as spirit-filled Christians, we can walk up to situations in the name of Jesus, and you don't have to maybe say it out loud, but you can have authority over every circumstance, over situation, and you can step in the room and say, in the name of Jesus, God, I come against this stronghold. I come against this problem. I come against this spirit. I come against this situation, and in the name of Jesus, I take authority, and demon, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am an extension of the King. I'm a representative of the kingdom. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Given authority, given an assignment to go into the earth realm and act in the King's stead. God said, you say what I tell you to say to them. You speak what I give you to speak to them. You do what I tell you to do. And if anybody question it, if any demon don't like it, tell him he's got to answer to me because I sent you in my name. I sent you with my authority. And the devils of hell can't stop you. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now I'm talking to Christians that are abiding. To be in power, to be empowered, you got to imbibe. To walk in an anointing, you got to abide. To see the deliverance power of God, you got to abide. I'm not talking about pass by, how you doing, Christian. I'm not talking about them. You say you love God. I understand that. But if you really want to operate in power and an anointing of the Holy Ghost, Bible said, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And in his time, in his season, he will elevate you. He says, I will lift you up. He said, you shall be exalted in the name of Jesus. So when you leave here today, your assignment from this day and every day forward is to abide in his presence. Get in his word. Get in your prayer closet. This goes for leadership. It goes for everybody. Get in the presence of God. If you want to see God operate and do miraculous things, get in his presence. Get on your knees. And as he told those elders, and as he told the nation, to repent. Repent. Repent means to turn around and not practice habitually the things, the sins that you once did. Your life shouldn't be known of a practice of sin. You may stumble, but it shouldn't be who you are. Get up. Proverbs says a righteous man may fall several times, but he gets up, brushes himself off, reacquires his target, and keeps on fighting. Some of you might have been knocked down. It's time for you to get up. Some of you might have got bloody, but it's time for you to wipe the blood off your forehead. Some of you went through some traumatic stuff, but it's time in the name of Jesus. You got to put it behind you. You got to say, you know what? I've been through some rough stuff. I've been through some stonings. I've been through some canings. I've been through some hell. I've been through some setback, but I can't stay there. I got to get up and I got to march forward because there's too much unfinished business. There's too much work to be done in the name of Jesus. In closing, if you're here today, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you're not sure if God was to call your name to appear in his presence, are you ready to meet the King? If you're ready, stay ready. If you're not ready, the altar's open to give your life to the Lord. If you're here and you say,